Was the eagle that was featured on U.S. coins based on an actual, real-life bird? This week, we meet Peter the Eagle on a new episode of The Internet Says It's True. Well, hey there, and welcome to The Internet Says It's True, where every week we learn something that sounds like I made it up, but it's really true. Part of the WCBE podcast experience, my name is Michael Kent. This is episode 184. Thanks for tuning in again, Tizziters. I appreciate you being here. Wanted to once again thank new Tizziters on Patreon. We've got Tim, Erica, Bill, and Darla. Thank you all for signing up. Remember that Patreon is the first place to hear news and upcoming stuff. There is a pretty big announcement on there right now. That's a piece of information that the rest of the world won't hear until mid-April. Also, it makes you able to see all 65 episodes of Joke Story Trick, the live web show I did. It's the only place that's available. So if you want to see all of that, or just listen to ad-free episodes of this podcast, go to patreon.com/MichaelKent and sign up at any level. You can even sign up for a 7-day free trial if you want. Once again, patreon.com/MichaelKent.
I am once again asking for your financial support.
Also, make sure you go over to the Apple Podcast app and leave a quick 5-star rating and review with a few words. We got one last week from Wes who just said, "It's great." I really do appreciate when you do that. For the next couple weeks, I'll be away from the podcast because of traveling, so I'll try my best to handpick a couple rewind episodes for you while I'm away, and when I come back, holy cow, I will have some stories, I promise. With all of that said, let's get on with this week's episode.
Get on with it!
Yes! Get over there!
Let's get on with it!
There's a long-standing myth about Benjamin Franklin. Over time, this story developed about Ben Franklin and America's national bird, the bald eagle. And the story goes that Franklin fought for the national bird to be the turkey instead of the eagle. And while there's never record of him ever actually fighting to change the national bird, we do know exactly where it came from. In a letter to his daughter, Franklin once criticized a depiction of the eagle, along with some other things. He didn't like the way the eagle looked on the Great Seal of the United States. Franklin and John Adams were on a committee whose job it was to come up with the Great Seal, and in 1782, a man named Charles Thomson, who was the Secretary of the Continental Congress, came up with the design that we know and use today, a bald eagle holding arrows in one claw and an olive branch in the other to signify peace and war. In a letter to his daughter, Benjamin Franklin criticized the artwork of the seal, particularly as it pertained to the depiction of the eagle. So it was this letter to his daughter, Sarah Batch, on January 26, 1784, that we're talking about. He wrote to her that people thought the eagle on the seal looked more like a turkey than an eagle. And he went on to criticize eagles themselves. He wrote, quote, "The bald eagle is a bird of bad moral character. He does not get his living honestly. He is too lazy to fish for himself." And then later in the letter, he actually continues, quote, "The turkey is a much more respectable bird and a true original native of America. He is besides, though a little vain and silly, a bird of courage," end quote. And that's the extent of Franklin's recorded thoughts on the matter. On top of that, scholars at the National Archives say that the letter was never actually sent. It was written while he was in France, and it was never sent home to Philadelphia. But instead, it was given to André Morellet, a French contemporary of Franklin, to translate into French. And he did so and advised Franklin about ever making the letter public. He advised Franklin to not do that, not because of the eagle turkey situation, but because the letter was written as a satire and the entire thing was supposedly a joke. Franklin was criticizing other things in the letter as well. So this letter was never read until after Franklin's death by anyone other than his grandsons, which he reportedly showed this letter to. And that's a lot of insider info to say that no, Ben Franklin never actually fought for the eagle to be replaced by the turkey, not in any official capacity outside of a satirical letter that was never actually mailed. The bald eagle was chosen as the national bird because they often patterned themselves after the Roman Empire. And in the Roman Empire, eagle imagery was common. In that case, it was the golden eagle. But with the creation of the Great Seal in 1782, the eagle became the symbol we see today. And since then, it's been seen on seals, symbols, currency, including countless coins. And at this point in the story, we skip forward 50 years. 50 years after Ben Franklin wrote that letter in Paris, the U.S. Mint was humming in Philadelphia. It had been producing the nation's coins for 38 years, and it was now 1830. The president was Andrew Jackson, and the U.S. had grown into a country of almost 13 million people. Bald eagles still inhabited the Philadelphia area back then. In the 1800s, there were around 400,000 bald eagles in the United States. For contrast, by the 1950s, this had been reduced to only 412 breeding pairs. And believe it or not, thanks to recent conservation efforts, there are somewhere around 317,000 individual bald eagles again today. But back when eagles were rampant, even in a large city like Philadelphia, one particular eagle started flying around the Mint near 7th and Arch Streets. He would fly in during the evening and stay. This same eagle came around so often that the employees of the Mint gave it a name. After a quick break, we'll meet Peter the Eagle.
I'm John DeSando, host of Back Talk. This podcast is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time. Back Talk features additional content and banter with guests about new movies. If you want more insight and information about what's playing now in theaters and online, find Back Talk at the WCBE Podcast Experience on wcbe.org. You'll be happy you did.
There was a time that humans used 100% organic products as healing balms and moisturizers for their skin. Well, I've partnered with an awesome company that wants to get back to those times. Fatco sells organic and responsibly made tallow-based skincare products. For centuries, humans used tallow in skin moisturizers and healing balms, but unfortunately, the topical application of these fats seemed to stop around the same time that animal fats stopped being considered part of a healthy diet. A lot of modern skincare products do more harm than good by stripping your skin of its natural oils. Let's change that. You can try them out now at fatco.com and get 15% off your order by using my promo code INTERNET. Go to theinternetsaysitstrue.com/deals for the link. If you love listening to this podcast every week and you want to show your support, that would mean a great deal to me. You can do that by becoming a Patreon member. We've got members at all levels, whether you want to pledge $1 a month or $10 a month. Just think about the value that you receive from this show. And if you like the histories and the stories that you learn about or the jokes that you hear, and if you think that they're worth it, consider signing up. For that, you get every episode ad-free and a week early, access to bonuses like the unedited videos of the guest appearances, and 20% off all merchandise. You can sign up today at patreon.com/MichaelKent. That's patreon.com/MichaelKent. In 1830, the same eagle kept visiting the corner of 7th and Arch Streets in Philadelphia at night. The eagle would often perch on the building, and then come morning, when the employees would come into work, he would be chased away. It would then fish in the Delaware River during the day and return the next night. And we don't know why he kept returning to this area. The Mint was just a few blocks west of the Delaware River, but it's likely that a local business had some good food scraps. After a while, the employees at the Mint named the eagle. They called him Peter. Now, for some reason, they started letting Peter fly inside the windows of the Mint, and he could soon be found perched inside the building almost all of the time. Peter became sort of an unofficial mascot of the Mint, which is funny considering he was basically the official mascot of the country, and his species had already been depicted on numerous coins. He was considered a, quote, exemplary employee of the U.S. Mint, and it said that he had access to any vault in the building. On any given day, Peter could be found literally perched on the large coin presses and other machinery. Everyone knew and loved the bird. They would feed him scraps and take care of him, and this went on for 6 years. In 1836, Peter was perched on the flywheel of a coining press, and the press operator didn't see him. He started up the machine, and the eagle's wing became caught in the wheel. The wing was broke, and he was cared for the best they could, but he couldn't be saved. Sadly, their six-year, exemplary employee, Peter, died. If you ever take a look at a silver dollar, the Gobrecht dollar, issued between 1836 and 1839, the design of the eagle is supposedly Peter. The same is true of the Flying Eagle Sin of 1857 and 1858. It was a way to pay homage to this bird they had become so close to. And there's another way they honored their friend. After he died, employees gave Peter's body to a taxidermist to be stuffed, and he was put on display with outstretched wings in the lobby of the U.S. Mint. This tradition has been continued to this day. Every time Philadelphia built a new mint, the stuffed eagle was put on display in the lobby. If you plan on visiting Philadelphia anytime soon, you can go still see Peter the Eagle today in the lobby of the Mint, over 150 years later. The internet says it's true. It's time for Yap Yap with me and a friend. Today, I am calling my good friend Jonathan Burns. Jonathan Burns and I have been in show business for the better part of 20 years. He was one of the first people I met when I started touring. He is a stunt comedy contortionist. You have seen him on America's Got Talent, Penn and Teller Fool Us multiple times, and he's also just toured around the world. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Is this called Yap Yap?
Yeah, so I had, you know, you get very little feedback when you do a podcast, and someone wrote in a critique that, give us more facts and less yap yap with your friend. So I have taken that and made it into the name of this segment, which is Yap Yap with me and a friend. So,
And seems like, you know, like a 1950s nickname.
It is, yeah.
Ding Dong and Yap Yap.
You know what's funny is, like, I don't think our listeners realize that the name of the podcast, The Internet Says It's True, came from the gentleman you're listening to right now, Jonathan Burns.
You're yapping with him right now.
Yeah, I was in a pickle when I had it called something else, and it wasn't getting any traction on the interwebs because it was called Tell Me What to Google. And when you have Google in the name of your podcast, you can't find it on Google. So Jonathan came up with the idea, and which is essentially what the show is The Internet Says It's True. These are things that the internet says is true. So.
Yeah, I think when I told you, I also told you one of your first stories, too, I think was about the Evel Knievel getting his name.
Yeah.
One of the first things, I think that was one of the, my suggestions.
Was that a suggestion from you?
I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great story. And there's another really great Evel Knievel story that CJ Johnson, our mutual friend, entertainer, gave me about Evel Knievel. He set up a hockey league, and then he flew in some foreign team to play them in Butte, Montana.
Okay.
And then just never paid him. He took collections from everyone that came to the arena, and then he just kept the money and never paid this foreign hockey team. It's pretty great.
I thought you were gonna make it. He was gonna make hockey more extreme, and he's like, "We're gonna do it on fire, and all the ice melted."
Yeah, we're gonna hit this slap shot over a car.
That's right, over some school buses.
Well, so for this first question, we're gonna play for a joke, and if you get it wrong, you gotta tell me a joke, and if you get it right, I'll tell you a joke. Here is your question. From 1830 to 1836, the U.S. Mint had an unofficial mascot that would hang out inside the building. Which one of these was it? Was it A, Peter the Bald Eagle, B, Matheson the Raccoon, or C, Gregory the Rat?
Mm.
Yeah. It's either Matheson, Gregory, or Peter. Peter was a bald eagle, Matheson was a raccoon, Gregory was a rat.
I'm going raccoon.
The answer, Peter the Bald Eagle. This is a crazy story. There was a bald eagle that was hanging out outside of the Mint, and he came every day, and so they started letting him inside the Mint, and then he would just be hanging out on top of, like, the coin presses. And sadly,
and that's why he's on the coin now.
He got stuck in one of the coin presses. Not a joke. Broke his wing.
Wow.
Killed him. But for several years, there are at least three coins, I think, that people have identified that they say that the pattern of the eagle is depicted Peter the Eagle. That is the actual Peter the Eagle. And if you go to Philadelphia and go to the Mint, which is this is a mint that wasn't the same mint. If you go to Philadelphia, you go to the Mint, Peter is stuffed and in the lobby.
Wow.
Yeah. So now you know.
Amazing.
You have a joke?
What do dinosaurs eat?
What?
Nothing, because they're dead. I taught that one to Lydia, who just turned 8 yesterday. And
yes.
Her delivery of it is the best. Like, we'll tell her to tell it to like waiters and stuff like that. And they're like, she goes, what do dinosaurs eat? And they say, yeah, I don't know. And she's like, nothing, because they're dead. Like, she really gets into it.
I can see her sticking the dead.
Yeah, it frightens the servers. It's great.
Put some stank on the comedy word there.
Well, I feel like it's one thing that parents don't teach their kids as much as, like, just street jokes. So I'm always trying to share those with her so she knows a few.
Not enough laffy taffy.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe we just don't see them as much. But I feel like some kids, like, I still hear kids saying, why'd the chicken cross the road and stuff like that. And you're like, that hasn't been funny for 100 years.
Love it. Here's one that I found. A guy's caught by a ranger eating a bald eagle, and he is put in jail for the crime, of course, and are federally protected. On the day of his trial, the judge asks, "Do you know that eating a bald eagle is a federal offense?" And the man goes, "Yeah, I did, but if you let me argue my case, I'll explain exactly what happened. See, I was lost in the woods. I didn't have anything to eat for 2 weeks, and I was so hungry. Next thing I see is a bald eagle swooping down at the lake for some fish, and I knew that if I followed the eagle, I could maybe steal the fish. Unfortunately, in the process of taking the fish, I accidentally killed the eagle, and I figured since I killed the eagle, I might as well eat it, since that's, you know, it'd be more disgraceful just to let it rot on the ground, right?" And the judge announces, "The court will take a recess while we analyze your testimony." And then 15 minutes goes by. The judge comes back and returns, and he goes, "Due to the extreme circumstance you were under, and because you didn't intend to kill the eagle, the court has decided to dismiss all charges. But if you don't mind the court asking, what does a bald eagle taste like?" And the man goes, "Well, Your Honor, it's hard to explain. The best I can describe it is maybe kind of between a California condor and a spotted owl." The joke there is that the man goes around eating federally protected birds.
Yes. He just incriminated himself. Yes, I got you. I gave a slow burn to the camera, which most people aren't going to see.
Goes really well over podcasts.
Like a wacky sound effect.
Yeah. Oh, this is my friend Jonathan is very adept at wacky sound effects. I'll do the. Let me do the punchline one more time, and then we can get a wacky sound effect. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, here. Let me. Okay. Yes.
"Well, Your Honor, it's kind of hard to explain, and the best I can describe it is maybe kind of between a California condor and a spotted owl." That's a cowbell. Oh, that's loud in our ears. Okay. Yikes. Oh my gosh. What are you up to lately? Have you been touring a lot? Oh wait, we got more sounds. Not only are you hearing a ratchet sound effect, brand new in the box.
I haven't
had time to unwrap your new ratchet. Yeah, what have you been up to lately?
I just got off a cruise. I did a cruise from Hawaii to Vancouver. So a lot of sea days.
Oh, that's fun.
I've been keeping busy. I'm on another cruise next week. The family's coming along. We're going to Mexico before Easter, which is exciting. And our biggest thing is I'm going to be working in Paris for 2 months this summer, and the family's coming along. So that's what we're working on now.
For how long?
2 months at the Crazy Horse. I'll be performing.
The Crazy Horse in Paris. That's huge, man.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I was there once before, and it was just a short run. But this time, I'm excited because the family's going to come along. We're going to be Parisian. Kids will start smoking, wearing berets. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I want you to wear those futuristic outfits they buy in National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Exactly. That's when we come back. That's what
I want to see. Yeah. Okay, so for this next question, we're going to play for an admission of a guilty pleasure band or artist. So just any sort of band or artist that you listen to that maybe, you know, you wouldn't want people knowing about. I don't know. Okay. How many U.S. mints has Philadelphia had? Has it been 2, 4, or 12?
Before you told me the numbers, I thought 2. So I'm going to go with 2.
The answer is 4. You're 0-2. The current facility opened in 1969. It's the fourth Philadelphia Mint. The first was in 1792 when Philadelphia was still the U.S. capital. It began operation in 1793. The second mint is the one that had the eagle. That was at 1830. The current one in Philadelphia, which is a beautiful big building, fourth one where you can. And the eagle has been at the second, third, and fourth.
Gotcha.
So, there you go.
Okay.
Do you have a guilty pleasure band or artist?
I'm trying to think of a guilty pleasure. I mean, I kind of put all my musical things out for the world to see. Like, there's nothing I'm really embarrassed about. What's something I'd be embarrassed? I feel like I don't listen. There's nothing like, I don't watch like Love is Blind. There's none of those kinds of like, no reality shows that I'm really into.
So you're proud of everything you consume is what you're saying, which I guess could be an answer.
I am, but it's that's boring. I want to reveal something terrible that you're like, what? I can't believe he listens to I mean, there's a lot of Taylor Swift in our house right now, which is, but that's just,
that's I, okay. I mean, she's on top of the world. Ladies. Maybe 10 years ago, if you were listening to Taylor Swift, I'd be like, eh, you know,
a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But these days it's like, that's huge. We watched the Eras Tour last night for the first time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. Have you seen it before?
No, no. Well, I feel like I have because I've seen live clips on TikTok, you know, like everyone.
Oh, gotcha.
Everyone. I've seen every individual part of it. Oh, you saw it in the theater. You got the popcorn buckets and everything.
It was, we did. We had, they are currently on my daughter's desks right now. But they, yeah, we went and like, it was really fun. All the, like, the, there was a bunch of like tween girls dancing in the front and like, yeah, they were up near the screen and, you know, all the parents sat in the back, but it was pretty fun.
And they knew all like the choreographed claps and everything.
Oh, absolutely. Along with it. Absolutely. You know what? I don't know if this is a guilty pleasure or not, but I've been listening to Crash Desk Dummies a lot.
That's a guilty pleasure.
I think so. I would say, like, you know, that's sort of a weird one where, like, you wouldn't think that you would have to revisit.
Can you name recently a second Crash Test Dummy song other than
Yeah, the Superman song.
Oh, so. Superman. That's right. I forgot about the Superman
song. Clark Kent, here was a real gent. Like, it's pretty silly.
There was a boy who...
I highly recommend Superman's song. You should listen.
I mean, I literally have never heard anything else they've done other than those two.
It's that same guy. And it's still in the deep baritones about, like, Superman never made any money.
And you know what's interesting is, like, that at least the first song, is it called just MMM?
I think so.
That was a great song. You never hear it replayed like you do other songs of the era.
That's right. Yeah, that's why I kind of felt like it's yeah. MMM.
How embarrassing is that for them to tell people what their biggest hit was? It's like, it'd be better if I just sing it to you. Once.
God shuffled his feet. Yeah, there's a couple other ones on here. I'm gonna double down and only listen to Crash Test Dummies for the rest of the month.
You didn't have to do. I mean, that wasn't a condition.
Nope, that's it. That's my punishment.
Okay. Let's move on. Question three. We're gonna play for a sticker. As always, it's a 3-inch orange. The internet says it's true sticker with some adhesive on the back. Bald eagles in the wild. They live to be 15 to 25 years old. 15 to 25, slightly longer in captivity. What has been the oldest bald eagle ever discovered? Was it A, 50 years old, B, 42 years old, or C, 38 years old?
Okay, I feel like 50's in there because that's the number of states, and you just want me to go with the
a patriotic number. Okay, 42 or 38?
I'm going to go 42 years old, final answer.
The answer, 38. You're killing it this week. You know why I feel like you've not gotten any of these right? Because this is the first appearance where you have not prepared a set of facts. If you go back and listen to the archives, every time Jonathan's been on the show, so this was a last minute thing. I texted Jonathan this morning. I was like, hey, you want to come on the show? But normally he will prepare what he thinks the topic might be and have a bunch of
I have no pre-guesses this time. Sorry.
That's okay. Why it's not going well for you this time.
I think it is. At least
no,
they had some
no sticker.
You know, facts about sloths.
Yes.
Or about the band Weezer.
And before that was dolphins, I believe.
I don't even remember. Yeah, so I am so sorry. No pre-guesses.
2015, a bald eagle found dead at the side of the road. This is outside of Rochester, New York. It had been banded on its foot, or on its leg. And the band showed it to be 38 years old. And to this day, that was 2015. And to this day, there has not been an eagle found to be older.
Wow. So,
and before that, the record was 30 years old, or maybe 31. But that's about as old as they can get. We're mourning a loss of one of our eagles here in Columbus. It's been rough for guys like me who go out there often and visit these eagles. We have a nest very close to downtown Columbus named Annie and Apollo. The first male was John Glenn, named after John Glenn, and Annie is John Glenn's wife. And then John was killed by an automobile, and
oh, no.
4 days later Annie took a new partner, and that partner was named Apollo, sticking with the space theme. And Annie disappeared about 2 weeks ago, and we just haven't seen her back. There have been a whole bunch of juveniles coming by the nest, and finally there's a eagle probably about 4 or 5 years old and they are now mating. So it looks like we got a new woman.
I hope Annie just ran off with another eagle.
That's the hope, right?
That's the story I'm going to go with. Like nothing happened to her. She's just like, you know what? This wasn't working out with Apollo.
Yeah.
And another.
They raised like two broods, three broods, something like that over the years, maybe more than that.
I'm learning facts from you. I didn't even know that a brood was an eagle's family.
Breach, brood, brood. I think I got it right. I'm going to Google this and see if the internet says it's true. Yeah, brood.
Wow.
Yeah. Basically, if you go on, there are Facebook groups that we have where people kind of say, hey, I was at the nest from this time to this time, and here's what happened. Here are some photos. A lot of the people are photographers like me, but the thing that's been driving me crazy is people humanizing and like anthropomorphizing the animals. You know, they're like, oh, maybe the other eagle was more attractive or whatever. And like, I don't know what they're saying. They're not saying that, but they're super sad because I think they're failing to realize that this is just nature and how it works. And
sure.
Generally, this is a fun thing. If you've never seen a death spiral, go to YouTube and search for eagle, bald eagle death spiral. The way that they find a fitting mate and the way that they test their existing mate is they both fly up real high and then they lock talons up in the sky. And literally they just fall spiraling around and it's like a game of chicken to test whether their mate is still, you know, fit to be a mate, I guess. So
I think we should rename little stuff. Chicken Eagle.
What's that?
We should rename Chicken Eagle.
Like I'm eating eagle right now?
No, like you said they're playing a game of chicken.
Oh, I see. They're playing a game of eagle.
Yeah.
The game chicken we shouldn't rename. I thought you meant I should go to McDonald's and order eagle nuggets.
Eagle nugget. I think you could get locked up for that.
Just six piece eagle nuggets.
Yeah. Well, just spicy eagle nuggets if you have them.
I love it. Let's see. You're man. Did we play for? Oh, we did question three. We played for a sticker. We lost it. Question four. This is for an admission of the best thing that's happened to us this week.
Mm.
How many U.S. mints are there currently in operation? Is it A, 4? Wait, did I ask you this? No, this is a different question. This isn't how many were there. Is it A, 4, B, 16, or C, 1?
How many U.S. mints are there currently? I know there's more than one, I believe. Because that I think on a coin, it'll tell you P and other letters.
What are the other letters?
Z.
Are there 15 other letters or are there 3 other letters other than P?
I think I'm going to go with 4.
The answer is 4. You got one right. You're 1 for 4. So. Oh, that's very loud. Ladies and gentlemen, when you book Jonathan Burns for a gig, he comes with sound effects. I would just like you to know that. There are 4 mints. Philadelphia. Denver, San Francisco, and West Point. West Point threw me for a loop. That one I did not know about. Now, there's a fifth one that's with an asterisk. The Bullion Depository in Kentucky is also part of the mint system. Can you tell me what city that's in?
Fort Knox.
That is correct. Fort Knox.
I will be in Fort Knox.
Are you really?
22nd. I'm
doing
a
what?
Show there. I'm doing a show for the base.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so the,
I was writing all my gold
bullion jokes this week.
Do you have anything yet? I'm so excited for that.
No, I haven't found the comedy gold yet. Right?
Boo!
Right? I won't use that one.
Okay, check that off the list. That's exciting. That's a fun thing. I'm a weirdo when it comes to Google Maps. You probably know this. I love going on Google Maps and looking up things. One of my favorite movies of all times is Stripes.
Okay, sure, with, sure.
You know, Bill Murray, John Candy, the whole group. And that was largely filmed at Fort Knox.
Oh, really? Okay.
Most of it was filmed at Fort Knox. And they still have some of the things that you can see there from the movie.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll go on.
Watch Stripes. It's been a while.
Yeah, or if you just go on like... IMDb or whatever, it'll actually IMDb probably will just say Fort Knox, but if there are websites that you can go to that say like what's still there, so you might be able to see some actual artifacts from the thing, like bridges in the background or roadways and things that were used in the filming.
Nice.
So
yeah. I always knew about the gold bullion. I was like, sort of when I got the gig, I was like, is that really real? Or is that just something that like cartoons said here? Like there was like a, I'd bet you all the money in Fort Knox or whatever.
Right. Right. Also, it would be a great place for them to hide aliens. You know,
I'll ask around. I'll see what I can
see what you can find out. Well,
you were talking about Google Maps. My girls were really like, that's what they were doing this morning. They were just looking on Google Maps. That was like their entertainment this morning while they had on the iPad.
That's amazing.
just
I love it. I do that all the time. I go to places where I've been and look at Google Maps and go to Street View and all that. I owe you an admission of the best thing that's happened to me this week.
Yes.
Gosh. My father-in-law had some progress in his health. That's good. So great. We'll call that. You know, he's moving right along. Allison is visiting him in Pittsburgh as we speak. And but he had some significant improvements, which we've been waiting for. So that's awesome. Really good. And then other than that, you know, business is good. I've been very, very fortunate to have continued this career for the 21st year. And I've got... I was not expecting that. I looked away for a moment and I heard the sound before I saw you blow the party blower.
I bring my own sound effects.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So that's good. Other than that, yeah, things have been very stressful just because of my anxiety disorder. I've got a couple really big trips coming up and big for me. And
that's awesome.
One of them,
that's great.
I'm about to go on this cruise ship, and one of them, they told me that the group on the cruise is largely, they're having issues because of a language barrier. And so they asked me to do my show without talking. I've never done a show without talking.
I mean, you're one of the top mimes in the country.
This is what they say about me. I've many times been billed as a mime, but that's just colleges that don't read the writer.
Box.
Yeah.
Get him out of that
box. I can do the box. I can do the rope.
There you go.
And then I can also do the check, please. At a restaurant, I can do check, please, or nice. I can do I need a refill by holding up the glass and pointing.
Well, you know what? So I did a cruise last week, and it was there was several people there who had ASL interpreters. So like
yes.
for the show, they would be at the show, and I've seen plenty of comedians use them right. and just say dirty words and make them do dirty things. So I'm like, I always try to avoid that. But apparently, my shows are like it's very visual. And I made a few jokes to the interpreter. The one time I just said, "Ooh, she must be Italian. She's always talking with her hands."
Yeah.
And then I would keep going to her and be like, "Buongiorno."
That's pretty good.
So I did that throughout the show, which was fun. But she was talking to me after the show, and she said that the deaf people on board actually they ended up coming up with a sign for me, which was I often take confetti out of my pocket and drop it. So
right.
This. Sign for Jonathan Burns.
That is hilarious. Just the movement of the folks on Patreon who can see the video of Jonathan will get to see exactly what that sign is. The rest of you, we're going to make you imagine what that sign was.
Right. It could be anything.
Could be vulgar.
I think some people out there are thinking of a rude sign right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't appreciate that.
No.
Internet.
No. So take that. Well, we've come down to question five, and even though you know, we're one for four, this is how you gain it all back. So if you get this question right, you're welcome back on the podcast anytime. If you get it wrong, banned for life. Here is your question. If the national bird was not the bald eagle, what should it be instead?
If the national bird was not the eagle, what should it be instead?
If it were up to you.
The pterodactyl.
The long... I almost said fictional, but the pterodactyl was clearly not fictional.
Pterodactyl. Because then, you know what? I think because then other people would want to come visit because they're like, we've got to see a pterodactyl. And then they keep, you know, come back and back. Like, they, you know,
and then
we were the only ones who have one.
And then they get to America and they realize, oh, it's only on the coins.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't exist in real life. That's a good answer. We'll take pterodactyl.
You missed it. You looked away. Wait, here.
There is confetti. I should just say that. There is confetti. the confetti doesn't convey over a podcast. My pop culture.
This is for the Patreon. This is for the Patreon.
For Patreon, take a look. This next 2 seconds just for Patreon and go.
That's right.
That's amazing. So you're about the same age as I am. When I hear the word pterodactyl, I immediately think of a pizza commercial from when I was a little kid. I think it was pizza, where someone makes an origami pterodactyl. Do you remember this?
I don't know if I remember.
I'm going to have to Google it after we're done. That was, I think, probably the first time I heard the word pterodactyl and probably had to ask my parents what it was.
Yeah.
But like, so he was doing origami and he goes, oh, a pterodactyl or something like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That was,
gotcha. Yeah. I think I do remember this.
I think that was like at the time, you know, what we would now call viral. Like, you know, that was a well-known commercial. It's kind of like the guy who, and I see this guy on TikTok. He's still an actor. Who, with the mouth full of cereal, said Aaron Burr over the phone to win a radio contest. Do you remember that? Aaron Burr. They're like, who shot President, Alexander Hamilton? Or not President, but whatever. Who shot Alexander Hamilton? He was like, Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr. Yeah. That guy he's on TikTok and he talks about that every once in a while. He does lives and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Amazing. Actually, I you know what? I'm going to give you a bonus joke.
Okay.
You want to cut this in?
No, we're going to leave it exactly where it is.
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl go to the bathroom?
Why?
Because the P is silent.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I really wanted to jump in and say, because it's dead.
I mean, that could be true, too.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It would have been great if your daughter popped her head in and said the punchline, because it's dead. Well, dude,
I mean, you got to hear her delivery. It's so good.
I can imagine it. It's great.
Have a dog
having
at
you.
The door. Hold on. One second.
Oh, no worries, man. We're done anyway. We don't have to.
We have to wrap it up.
We're gonna wrap it up anyway. So you can go let the dog out. Thank you so much. You guys go visit Jonathan Burns' website. Is it iHeartBurns.com?
That is my fan club. Yes, iHeartBurns. Don't forget the I and the S. If you go to heartburn.com, that's Tums.
iHeartBurns.com. You can find out where Jonathan will be appearing near you. And if you're on a cruise ship, he might be on it. Or if you happen to be stationed at Fort Knox and listening to this podcast,
come on out.
Let us know where the aliens are. That is all for this week. Thank you so much to Jonathan Burns for being my guest. And thanks to you for listening. Here's the voice of the ghost of Peter the Eagle.
Thank you for listening to The Internet Says It's True. To listen to episodes ad-free and a week early, support us on Patreon. You can do that at patreon.com/Michael Kent. If you learned something just now that you didn't already know, go to the Apple Podcast app and leave us a review with 5 stars and a few words. That helps us a ton, because that's how the algorithm works. I don't know what an algorithm is, but just do it! See you next week for a brand new episode of The Internet Says It's True!
The Internet Says It's True would like to thank the Patreon subscribers whose monthly contributions help to make this show possible. Sean Brown, Joshua Endres, Dallas Ray, Bryce Swanson, Eugene Anderson, Jim and Joanne Martin, Mitch and Andrew Joseph Templin, and the show's official Emperor, Kick Track. The show is written and produced by me, Michael Kent. The theme song is by Finite Music Forge, and all audio clips of this episode are used for education and commentary and used under fair use in 17 U.S.C. Section 107. You can listen to past episodes by searching for The Internet Says It's True wherever you get your podcasts, and you can see bonus content at patreon.com/Michael Kent.